I'd like you to take your Bibles, if you would, please, and turn with me to the book of Genesis. I don't know how many of y'all do Instagram or not, but I don't do a lot of social media, but I enjoy, you know, catching up with people and staying connected, and I like having a venue to just share some truth along the way, so I post things on Instagram from time to time. And how many of you remember Cody Thompson? Anybody remember Cody Thompson? Cody, we're friends on Instagram, and he posted something this week. When I saw it, I was like, wow, that is so timely. It's a quote by Nelson Mandela, and you can have your opinion about Nelson Mandela, it doesn't matter to me. This quote is incredible, and it's exactly what we're looking at in this new series. We're starting a new series today about the life of Joseph, and it's entitled Living the Dream. How many ever heard somebody say, I'm living the dream? You heard that little phrase? There's a guy at the that used to work at the police department. He's now in parole and probation. And he was at the front desk. And every time I'd come in to visit the officers and the staff there, I would ask how he's doing. And he would always say, I'm living the dream. And that dream is different for everybody. But I hope that that you experienced that. This is what Nelson Mandela said in this quote. There is no passion to be found playing small. You don't have to have any passion at all to play small, whether it be sports or business or life. It doesn't take any passion to do the small things. He says, in settling for a life that is less than the one you are capable of living. It doesn't take any passion to settle for a life that is less than your best. And you know, I thought about that. When I saw that, I was like, wow, that is powerful. You know, when I look at the life of Joseph, I see a man with some passion. To get through what he went through required a lot of passion. To achieve what he achieved from where he came from required a lot of passion. And I just want to get us started today in this series, just kind of doing a little overview of the whole story, and then we'll dig into the details as we journey on through the next couple of months, looking at the life of Joseph and living the dream. Today's message is entitled, Life is a Blessing from God. It doesn't matter who the life is. Life is a blessing from God. You know, I've heard many people talk about a child that they had conceived, and the doctors spoke of some kind of problem and tried to talk to them about ending the life of that child, and how they made a choice not to do that based on principles from God's Word, and how thankful they are for that choice. You know, life is a blessing from God. And it doesn't matter if it's unborn life or if it's life of advanced age. This week, many of you got my text in regards to praying for Mrs. Gross. And I praise the Lord she's doing well. And from her surgery, she's over 90 years old. She fell and broke her hip this week. And she had to have a pin in that hip to help it to heal. And the very next day, she was up moving around. It's pretty amazing, but she's doing well, and we want to keep praying for her. Their next thing they're praying for is a long-term care facility that can help her in that transition. But be in prayer for the Gross family. Also be in prayer for Mr. Huber. He's 92, and he has a heart valve that is not working properly, and he's in heart failure. And they're trying to work with getting those fluids out of his system and trying to help him and make some big decisions regarding his future. But, you know, life is a blessing from God. And we need to value life. Every year in the third, I think it's the third Sunday in January, every year we focus on the sanctity of human life. We just praised God for the privilege we had to give over $1,200 to Next Step Pregnancy Information Center. Why do we do that? Because life is precious. It's a blessing from God. I want you to look with me, if you would please, in Genesis 30. Genesis chapter 30. I'm just going to read four verses as we get started this morning in this study. Genesis chapter 30, beginning in verse 22. And God remembered Rachel, and God hearkened unto her, and opened her womb. And she conceived and bare a son, and said, God hath taken away my reproach. And she called his name Joseph, and said, the Lord shall add to me another son. And it came to pass when Rachel had borne Joseph, that Jacob said unto Laban, send me away, that I may go unto mine own place and to my own country. Let's pray and ask God's blessing on his word. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the truths of your word, and we acknowledge life is a gift from your hands, and we thank you for that gift. And Lord, help us to live the lives you've given us to your glory, and to use each day that you give to us to serve you and honor you. We just heard about the Tibetan people and how every day they are fully engaged in their faith. And Lord, help us as followers of you to every day, every moment of the day, be engaged in following you and living out our faith. And Lord, if there's anyone here that's not doing that, maybe they've gotten a little cold on it, I pray they would, a fire would burn inside of them as a result of being here today, that they would reach their full potential that you've created them for. Lord, perhaps there's someone here today that's not even engaged in a relationship with you at all. They've never come to faith in Christ. They've never started a journey of following you, and they don't have the promise of heaven as their eternal home. Lord, I pray today you'd work in their heart, and they would come to that place to realize their life is a blessing from you. And you've given them that life to live for you and to relate to you, not only through life here on this earth, but for all of eternity in your home in heaven. And that the only way they can experience that eternity with you is by faith in your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, work in our hearts, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when somebody says they're living the dream, that's very, very personal, isn't it? Everybody's dream is a little different, right? And you know, God puts within us some desires, and that kind of drives us. And we have that desire and that purpose. We have a motivation to get up in the morning and to do what we need to do, and to accomplish challenges and things that are difficult for us. We push through those things because we've got this purpose. We've got this dream that we want to achieve and we want to accomplish, and it gives us that drive to get through the hard times of life. You know, a lot of times, Michael grew up most of his life here in the Grand Ronde Valley. He was 5 when we moved here. A friend of ours back in Indiana sent me a get well card because they heard about my accident. You know, my brother, you know, there's no secrets in family, right? And he's the pastor back there now. And so this nice lady there that was there when we were there sent us a sent me a card and just let me know she was praying for me. And in the card, she put the bulletin that was from when we moved away. She's had this bulletin for 17 years, and she put it in there. She said, "I thought you'd like to see this again," and it was kind of different looking back 17 years right there. But you know, a lot of people that knew Michael growing up, I see, you know, he played sports, and I see the dads of those guys and some of the moms and sometimes those guys. Max played ball with, where is Max? Anyway, yeah, there's Max. Max, I think soccer or baseball, you guys did something together. And when Max showed up at church, he says, what's Michael up to? And a lot of times when people ask about Michael, I say he's living the dream because he literally is. I mean, his dream when he went to college, before he went to college, He wanted to get an education degree so he could coach. That's what he wanted to do. And so he got an education degree, and now he's coaching and teaching. And he's literally living the dream. And he does not like cold weather. and he's in Florida. And he's living the dream. and he does like fishing. And he put on Instagram, and I think Facebook too, a nice picture of a nice big redfish that he caught. And so he's literally living the dream for him. You know, life is a gift from God. And he gives it, and he should be the one that takes it away. You know, it saddens me whenever I'm called to a situation where somebody's tried to or succeeded at taking that power of life out of God's hands. It's always a sad thing. And the family's the one left to work through all of that emotion and loss. But life is a gift from God, and we should honor him with it, and we should leave it in his hands. See, God, here in this text, Rachel said that God remembered her. And the word in the Hebrew means to mark. He knew her, he marked her, he took notice of her. He took notice of her situation. She wanted a child and didn't have a child. He took notice of her prayers. Aren't you glad God takes notice of our prayers? Aren't you glad that God works in behalf of our prayers? I'm so thankful for that. That the creator of the universe, the eternal God of heaven, cares about little old me in this little speck of the universe. It's an amazing thought. But that's exactly what Rachel is saying here when she talks about the fact that he remembered her and he opened her womb. He took notice of her. He cared about her. He blessed her. And he gave Rachel a child that she had been praying for. And for a Hebrew woman, it wasn't just a child. It was a boy. That was so important for that family legacy and that family heritage. See, and Rachel credits God with the blessing of that child. And when we do a baby dedication or a child dedication, whenever we do that, what we're doing is we're acknowledging this life is a gift from God. And we're thanking God for that gift of life. And we're dedicating ourselves as parents. And the parents are dedicating them. And we as a church are committing ourselves to pray for those parents and pray for that child that they would live for God and they would raise him up in the truth of God and he would honor God with his life. And that's exactly what we see in this prayer, in this statement, in this episode of Rachel's life. She's acknowledging God as the giver of life. And she's thanking God for the life that he gave. See, Rachel's acknowledging God as the one that added life to her. And literally, that's what the name Yosef in the Hebrew, Yosef or Joseph for us, that's what it means. God added life. And she's acknowledging that. You know, birth adds life into the world. It's kind of interesting, you know, how many times that I'll hear about a child being born and then the same day I'll hear about somebody I know that went on into eternity. Birth gives life to the world and death removes life from the world. See, none of us knows how long we have on this earth. I think there's some slides there. Isn't there, Brother Lyle? Yeah. This is a cemetery up on 12th Street. You know, I don't know if you've ever walked in a cemetery, but there's all kinds of headstones there and dates and all of that. Go to the next slide there. And this is at Grandview. I've done many funeral services right there. And I know the Mr. and Mrs. Wolf. That's where their final resting place is on this earth. But when you go into a cemetery, you realize the brevity of life. There's some of those gravestones like the Wolves. Both of them were in their 90s when they went home to be with the Lord. But unfortunately, sadly, I've done the funerals of some infants before. But none of us knows how long we're going to live. Go to the next slide there, brother. This cemetery is just right down the road here, Somerville Cemetery. These pictures here are compliments of John Mola. Thank you very much. And in that cemetery, there's these headstones. And here's one here, just a baby, born at birth, just lived a little while. Go to the next one there, Brother Lyle. This one here, just born, lived less than a month. And the next one, here's Fred. He lived, I think, 2 years. And this one here. And the next one, 19 years. Ida lived 19 years. Here's one here. 1904 to 2002. Is that the one that's your grandparents? Okay. You know, none of us knows how long we're going to live. There's another one. Just a little while. Is there another one? That's that. But the bottom line is, for some, life is cut short. For others, it's very long. And God only knows that. God knows. In fact, the Bible tells us God knows the number of our days. And we need His help to number those days. That means we need His help to use those days for His glory. However many days we have, we need to fulfill the purpose for which we were created. I'm reading this book to go along with this study. It's called Releasing Your Potential. And in the introduction, he talks about being in London after a very long series of meetings, and he's a preacher, and he goes on a walk through a park, and as he goes through this park, he sees the cemetery, and he goes in the cemetery just like what we did. He looks at those headstones, and the thought came over him: how many of those people fulfilled the purpose for which they were born, whether they live short or long? God knows how long we're going to live before we're ever born. And He has a purpose for our lives. But the question is, do we fulfill that purpose? Later on in the book, he asked this question: where's the richest place on earth? He asked people that. Where's the richest place on earth? Somebody said Fort Knox. There was a time maybe that was true. I don't think so anymore. Somebody said Wall Street. You know, the richest place on earth, the point he's trying to make is a cemetery. Because the point he's trying to make is, when people die, they take everything with them into that grave that they didn't get done yet. Books that were written, that could have been written, that weren't written. Discoveries, scientific discoveries that could have been discovered but weren't. Accomplishments that could have been made that didn't get made. But it's within us. God puts these things within each one of us to accomplish something while we're here. But it takes that dream, it takes that motivation, it takes that drive to fulfill that purpose. And if we don't tap into that dream, if we don't experience that drive that dream gives to us, then we just let life go by us and we don't live life. And I'm sad to see so many people that are existing, but they're not living. Don't be that person. Don't let your life go by and don't live it. Don't have all this potential within you and don't experience it. Don't take with you into the grave things that God made you to accomplish that will go with you into the grave. Don't let that happen. In the life of Joseph, we see a fella that literally lived his dream. Now, it wasn't easy, we'll see as we go through. And he didn't start in the easiest situation. I know there's people here that could say, you literally could say, and legitimately you could say, you don't understand the start I've had in life and how many strikes I have against me and how many things I have working against me to keep me from achieving that purpose. And to that I say, you're right. I don't know your life and I don't live your life. But every one of us has things that if we let them, they could hold us back. And Joseph, he had plenty of that. Let's dig into the life of Joseph just a little bit. We looked here in chapter 30, but you know, life for Joseph had a rough start. And there are people here that you could say, you know, I had a rough start in life. And legitimately, You could say that. But you know what? Joseph could have said that too. But Joseph did not let his start determine his finish. And I want to challenge everybody here. Do not let your start determine your finish. I appreciate, I didn't ask permission. I hope it's okay. I know him well enough. I think it's okay. I heard Jerry Winkle shared this recently to another person. I was there getting my hair cut. He's my hairstylist. What a guy. And this gentleman came in and he was sharing about how he got started in leather working. And Jerry is an incredible craftsman with leather. I'm a benefactor of some of his talent and artwork. But he started in leather when he got polio. And his dad bought him this leather equipment because his dad knew he wasn't going to be able to do a lot of the things the other kids are going to do. And he needed something to do. And that is for sure. That guy needs something to do. He needs busy. And he still has the toolings that his dad gave him. He's got a ton more, but he still has those too. And he took the setback of polio and he used it to create an art that is blessing people today. Yeah, I called a preacher that we've met once. There's a lot of preachers that I talk to, text and call that I've never even met Katie's dad, Clint Cavanis. We've never met. We've talked on the phone, we've texted, but we've never met. And I call this guy, he's in Washington, we met once, and I asked him, you know, hey, how can I be praying for you? And he shared with me, I want you to pray for my son. I said, what, how can I pray for your son? He said, he's 6 years old, and last November he was diagnosed with muscular dystrophy. And I want you to pray either that God would give him healing in a miraculous way, or God would give him the grace he needs to go through that and give us the grace to help him through that. I'm going to call him back and I'm going to share your story with him, Jerry, because I think that might be something that would be helpful for that young fella when he can't do what the other kids are doing. But you know, Joseph had a rough start. Talk about a dysfunctional family. That's a real catchphrase, isn't it? What is a normal family anyway? Have you ever met a normal family? I mean, there's some people that are so delusional, they think their family's normal. But you got to realize your normal is somebody else's abnormal, right? Normal is so subjective, it's not even funny, right? But when you look at a dysfunctional family, you got to go a long ways to beat Joseph's family. Talk about a mess. They were a mess. You know, his father was just a sneaky deceiver. You know what the name Jacob means? Supplanter. The grabber of the heel. Going back to his birth with Esau. And he was a trickster his entire life until God put his hip out of joint and got him serious about living. That was his dad. A trickster. A deceiver. Well, guess what? His grandpa was just as bad. Laban? I mean, in chapter 31, in verse 7, Joseph talking to Rachel about her dad, Laban, he says, he's changed my wages 10 times. He's been cheating me ever since I got here. You remember the story. He fell in love with Rachel. The minute he showed up, he fell in love with Rachel. And he wanted to marry Rachel. He made a deal with Laban. I'll work 7 years for your daughter, Rachel. He worked 7 years. He had a wedding. He woke up. It was not Rachel. It was Leah. Talk about a dirty trick. And he goes back to his father-in-law, Laban, and says, you married the wrong girl to me. I worked 7 years for Rachel. You gave me Leah. He says, how can I give you the youngest one before the oldest one's married? Laban was a Syrian. Syrians are not the best friends of the Jews even today. So guess what he does? Works another 7 years. And this time he does get Rachel. His dad was a trickster. His grandpa was a trickster. Next week we're going to look at the fact that his mom was a thief. Talk about a dysfunctional family. His father wanted one girl to marry, Rachel. He ends up with two. And his mother wanted a child so bad that she gave her handmaid to her husband to have a child with. And Leah got kind of jealous about that, and so she gave her handmaid to her husband, and he had children with her. Four women having children to this one guy. Talk about a dysfunctional family. It was a mess. And why did Rachel give her handmaid to her husband? Why? She envied the fact that her sister had a child and she did not. So there's a dysfunctional family. It's a blended family. A lot of people talk, you know, we have a lot of blended families even in our church. And in this passage, we have a blended family. We have children from four women to one man, two wives and two maids. You know, God's intention for a family is a lot simpler than that. God's intention, as stated in Genesis and restated by Jesus in Matthew, is that he made male and female. And it says, the twain shall be one flesh, and what God had joined together, let not man put asunder. We can't have a simpler life if we just follow God's ways, amen? But he had a dysfunctional family. He had a blended family. And he had sibling rivalry on steroids. And you look at the boys and the rivalry they had. And we'll look at it as we go through the story. But you know how it is. You've read the book of Genesis. And you know how Joseph had a dream and he told his brothers. And they hated him for it. And you know how his dad loved him and he made him the coat of many colors. And his brothers hated him for it. And they had major sibling rivalry. But where did that come from? Well, it goes back to his mother's. They had sibling rivalry. And it goes back even farther than that. His dad and their uncles had sibling rivalry. Remember what Jacob did to Esau? You remember why Jacob had to run away to Syria where he found Rachel? Because Esau wanted to kill him. Wait a minute, hold on. A brother wanting to kill a brother. Isn't that exactly what Joseph's brothers wanted to do with him? Why is it that Esau wanted to kill Jacob? Because he stole his birthright from him. Right? See, this family was messed up. There was generational sibling rivalry. Talk about the sins of the father being on the children for the second and third generation. This family was messed up. But here's the deal. Listen. Doesn't matter how messed up your family you come from is, God can give you a dream and you can live that dream. You do not have to be a product of your environment. You can be a product of God's grace. And that's what I see in the life of Joseph, a product of God's grace. And no, remember, I told you Joseph's name. Remember Joseph's name, what it means? Let him add. Life is added. Through Joseph, life is added. Joseph added life to his family. God added life to Joseph's family through his life. God added life to the world through Joseph's life. And that's what his name means. Let him add. And he added life to his family. But that's not all that Joseph added. The life of Joseph added a special blessing by his life. And you know what I see out here? In every life out here? And when I was over there singing, Who's the King of the Jungle, every life over there, I see special blessings that God has put on this earth for your life to influence this world. In this room are blessings of life that God has added to the world to count for His glory. And we need to fulfill that purpose. See, Joseph was a special blessing to his family. His mother prayed for that child. His mother longed for that child. And when Joseph came, she was so thankful. Joseph added a special blessing to the heritage of their family. Can you imagine Jacob's family, whose name later became Israel, without Joseph? If you don't have Joseph, You don't have 70 people in this family going to Egypt to survive a famine. And without Joseph bringing the family of 70 into Egypt, you don't have over a million leaving Egypt 400 years later. Talk about a special blessing. I'm kind of thinking a family continuing on is a pretty special blessing. But not only for Jacob's family, how about the entire nation of Israel? See, God used Joseph to rescue the nation of Israel because Jacob's family is the beginning, is the continuance of that family of Israel. In fact, Jacob's name was changed to Israel. And it's from his family that the entire nation of the Jewish nation is from. I'm kind of thinking Joseph's pretty important to the Jewish nation. Amen. Let me ask you a question. What's your life adding? What are you letting your life add because of being here? Or maybe we ought to ask it this way. What are you not adding because you're being here? See, when God gave you life, He wanted to add something. He wanted to add something to your family. What's your life adding to your family? Think about that. Young people, think about that. What is your life adding to your family? You need to think about that. Because there's some things that young people may be adding to their family that isn't part of what God's purpose is, but that's your purpose. You might want to adjust that. What is your life adding to your family heritage? There's some kids I've seen grow up in a family that's very difficult. But they, with the grace of God and the help of God, they change their family's legacy. They change the identity of their family name. You know, when I was a teenager, often my dad would say, and I've heard many other people, I said this to my kids, remember what your name is. Remember your name is Umber. That means something. And remember your name is Christian. That ought to mean more. But I've known some kids that grew up in homes where the family name was not really respected in the community. But those kids grew up and they wanted to make a difference and they changed that legacy. And in their lifetime, they turned that reputation of that name around. What's your life adding to your family legacy? What is your life adding to the future of the world? Can you imagine the world without Louis Pasteur? Well, maybe we would have caught up and gotten some of those discoveries, but boy, aren't you glad they got them when they got them, aren't you? Just think of all of the great scientists of the past and the discoveries that were made. And God put them here on this earth to accomplish those things. And we're the benefactors of those accomplishments. But why did God put you here to accomplish, to affect the future of the world? You say, oh, Pastor, you got to be kidding me. I'm so insignificant. We're from the Grand Ron Valley. How huge can that be? You would be amazed of the obscurity of the backgrounds of some of the great leaders of the world. You would be amazed at the family problems that some of the great leaders of the world came out of. But what is your life adding? God put you here for a purpose. The question is, are you achieving that purpose? Are you fulfilling your potential of why you were created with the gifts and abilities you were created, the talents, the skills, the intellect, the charisma that you have God put within you to accomplish His purpose while you're here? The question is, will you accomplish it or will you take it with you to the grave? And everybody has to decide that for themselves. And the last thing I want you to think about when you think about Joseph as you go through this week And yes, I do want you to think about Joseph as you go through this week. I want you to think about a guy that changed courses through God. When you see Joseph, you do not see a repeat of Jacob, do you? No, you do not. You do not see a replay of Rachel. You don't. You see a very different person in the life of Joseph than you see in his heritage. Very different. Significantly different. How did that happen? With the Lord. See, God's will can change your family heritage if you let it. Now you say, well, Pastor, my family heritage is good. I like it. I don't want to change it. Well, guess what? Maybe God doesn't want to change it either. But maybe He wants you to use you to just keep it going and not stop it. See, your family environment is a shaping influence. Every one of us, our family environment is a shaping influence in our lives. But it does not have to be the determining factor. God's grace and God's will can override the influence of environment. I've seen it happen so many times, it's not even funny. I've seen kids grow up in great homes, with great parents, with great love and great support and great training. I'm talking great. I'm not talking good. I'm talking great. And those kids throw that all away and trash it and ruin their entire futures. And I've seen kids grow up in homes that were terrible. I'm not talking bad. I'm talking terrible. And I've seen those kids grow up to just exceed and excel and honor God in great ways. Your environment does not have to determine your future. It does shape you, but it does not have to determine the outcome. Your family heritage is a powerful force. There's no question about it. It can either be a good, powerful force or a negative power force, but your family heritage is a powerful force. However, if you let God's will change it, He can change it and make it even better. And He can take something good and even make it better. And you know what? And I'm not the oldest guy in this room, but I've lived long enough to know that genetics are real. And that whole thing about the sins of the fathers and the children, a lot of that has to do with genetics. Some of it has to do with environment. A lot of it has to do with genetics. Sin is in our blood. So is our DNA, by the way. But you know what? Family genetics, they do make you who you are. But guess what? God's will can change who you are into what He wants you to be. Here's another thing. Not only God's will can change your family heritage, God's grace can change the outcome of your future. God's grace can change the future outcome of your life. See, God's grace can enable you to become all that God wants you to be. All that God wants you to be. A lot of times when I sign a note, like for graduation or to a young person, just in general, a lot of times I'll put on there, I pray that you will walk with God in His Word and let His Spirit accomplish all that He wants to use you to do through Him. You say, Pastor, you really believe that? You betcha. I believe that 100%. You can let God's grace enable you to become exactly what He wanted you to become. No matter how many things are working against you, His grace can help you to achieve what He wants you to achieve. See, God's grace can make it possible for you to achieve all that God created you to achieve. But you know what? Your lack of desire can keep you from achieving what God created you to achieve. See, God's grace can help you experience the life and the family God wants you to experience. I believe that God wants people to experience the kind of family He's described in His Word. But in order for a family to experience that, every person in the family has got to be on the same page. I've seen one adult mess up an entire family. I've seen one child mess up an entire family. Every person in the family's got to be on board for the family to work the way God wants it to work. See, God's grace can help us. Here's some verses I want you to write down. I want you to look them up. They're not in your notes, so you got to write them down. Mark chapter 10, verse 24 through 27. Matthew chapter 19, verse 26. So Mark 10, 24 through 27. Matthew 19, 26. In those two passages, it's Jesus speaking. And he's talking about how hard it is for a rich man to get to heaven because the rich man trusts in his riches. But he also says, with men it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. See, looking at life on a human level, it's easy to say environment determines everything. But you're not bringing God into the equation. With God's help and God's grace, we can achieve what God wants us to, regardless of our family heritage, regardless of our environment. Look at Ben Carson. Talk about all the things working against Ben Carson. And the great things that, with God's help in his life, he's achieved in his lifetime. What a great story. Here's another verse to write, or passage to write. Jeremiah 32, 26 through 18. Jeremiah 32, 17 through 27. You can't go backwards, can you? Jeremiah 32, 17 through 27. In that passage, it talks about, this is God giving a prophecy to Jeremiah when he's in prison. Okay? He's in prison. Israel's under siege. And God tells Jeremiah, in prison, buy some property. We're in prison. We're under siege by our enemies. We're not getting out of this mess. God promised they would get out of this mess. And he says, put your faith in me, trust my prophecy, buy some property. And he did. And he got out to see it. And God blessed. But in that passage, it says, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? You look at your situation, you say, this is impossible. With man it is impossible. With God, all things are possible. God says, your life is difficult, but is there anything too hard for me to achieve through you if you'll just walk with me and trust me? Look at the life of Joseph. Talk about a miracle. In reality, his life is it. And the last point is this, God's glory can come from a difficult past. God can bring beautiful life out of ashes from a very ugly past. He can. In fact, this is his prophecy, Isaiah 61, 1 through 4. Read it. Write that one down. Isaiah 61, 1 through 4. It says that about the nation of Israel. They were in ashes. They were in a mess. God promised to bring them out of it, and he did. Talk about what other nation on earth has stopped being a nation and became a nation again? Only Israel. And God promised it, and he did it. See, God can bring beauty out of ashes. You say, my life's a wreck, my life's a mess, my life is all ruined, and it's all ashes. Guess what? God can bring beauty out of ashes. God can work all the experiences of my life together for good and for his glory. Romans 8, 28 and 29 are still in the Bible. And I believe it. And it would behoove you to believe it too. You say, you don't know about the bad things that have happened to me. You're right, I don't. And you don't know about the bad things that have happened to me. You say, you don't know about the bad things I've done. That's right, I don't. And you don't know the bad things I've done. But I know a God in heaven who's greater than all of that. And Joseph knew that God too. Here's the last thing I want you to think about. God can bring you to his expected end for your life, if you'll just let him. The prophecy for that one is Jeremiah 29, 11 through 14. He has an expected end for you, and it's good. You just have to let him do it. And that's where salvation, that's what salvation does. You can't save you. I can't save you. God can save you. He wants you to go to heaven. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But he's not going to force you to go. He says it's a gift. You have to receive it. Jesus promised, if you receive him, he'll return and receive you unto himself. He's got an expected end for your life. The question is, will you receive it and experience it with his help? Joseph did. If it worked for him, kind of think it'll work for us. Let's pray.